Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Queer Eye More Than Just a Makeover Rehab Up. This is a one-off show. You may or may not know me. I'm Kirsten McInnes. I just kind of float around the rehab universe doing whatever, and I'm joined by two lovely ladies today. We've got Angela Bloom. How are you today, Angela?
Hey, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Yes, queen.
Yes. So you know Angela from doing all kinds of stuff on the Rehab Up Network, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, So You Think You Can Dance, all that good stuff about, you know, things that take talent, unlike myself. We're also joined today by Lita Broman. Lita, how are you?
I'm good. I am really excited about this. It inspired me to go back and watch some of the original Queer Eye. I have so much nostalgia and love for this show. So thanks for putting this together, Kirsten.
I'm so excited that we're all here to talk about Queer Eye. I am such a huge fan of gay culture. I'm surrounded by gay people all the time. It's actually kind of a problem. People are like, don't you know any straight people? It's like, oh, I know them. It's fine, whatever. And so this show coming back is just so positive, and I really thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to chat about it because no one's talked about it yet. So in this podcast, we'll go through what we liked from season one, some highlights from season two, and we'll talk about our feelings on the Fab Five, the new Fab Five, and of course, anything with the old Fab Five too. So there will be spoilers. If you haven't watched yet, turn this off immediately. Start watching Queer Eye.
Yeah,
it's worth the time commitment. Like all of it. There's only 8 episodes.
What are you
season.
Doing?
Yeah, get out of here. Go watch it right now. Okay, so let's start with season one. Like, let's start our feelings actually with when the show was announced that they were bringing it to Netflix. How'd you guys feel about it? Lita, what about you?
So I was excited. I wasn't like a diehard fan of the original show. It's not like I've seen every episode or anything, but I used to, when I got home from school, just watch literally whatever Logo.
Same.
Like, I would turn on Logo and it didn't matter what show was playing. I would watch whatever it was because there wasn't anything that they would play that I didn't like. I don't think I even really knew it was like an LGBT specific network. It was just like, this is what RuPaul's Drag Race is on, and I like everything that they, it's always like Golden Girls reruns in the middle of the day.
This was also on... Like other, like a TLC, they would put reruns of this on. Like, this was on other channels too.
Yeah. So in Canada, we don't have Logo. So we would watch it on TLC.
Got it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, you're right. This, like, I feel like this, like, extended past Logo, which is great.
Yeah, it was big, and it's big enough that, like, you know, I've seen Gilmore Girls a billion times. They reference it on Gilmore Girls, and like it was definitely like a cultural phenomenon that I engaged in just because it was kind of like this gay thing that was on Logo, not because I particularly like makeover shows or anything.
I'm shocked.
Listen, diversity of perspective here. I don't not like
Glad
them.
Glad we have your perspective, because that's the opposite of mine.
I always said that I don't, like, I'll watch any reality TV that isn't fashion, food, or renovation. Like,
oh,
I just,
my God.
What?
I don't like the home decor shows. I don't like the makeover shows. Again, nothing against them. It's not my thing. I'm like, when is someone getting voted out? You know,
I'm going to have an anxiety attack.
But what I'm saying is, to the credit of Queer Eye, it always captured my imagination in that it had the elements of a reality show that I liked, which are more of like the competition
above and beyond.
Yeah, it had the elements of human connection and human relationships, which I'm sure the other shows do a great job of too, but it always captured my imagination in that, like, these guys have this really special relationship to each other and then also to the person that they're working on. And it was always more, it was easy for me to access in a way that a lot of the other shows in the genre weren't.
Lydia, you're so highbrow. I can't, like, I used to fake sick in elementary school to watch the design challenge. Like, this is...
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm highbrow because I would watch, like, Flavor of Love, because at least people get eliminated on that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think of as highbrow. Is that not an accurate definition?
Yeah, I feel like me and Kirsten have the same take on Queer Eye, original Queer Eye this time. I mean, I went into this season one and season two sort of excited because I was such a huge fan of, like, design. I mean, I went to school for art history and costume design. So, I mean, I don't know if that tells you much about my sort of taste and like interest in this sort of stuff, but like I live for like Pinterest boards and just wanting to like make over somebody's wardrobe. And like I told my mom after watching both seasons of Queer Eye this time that my ideal gift coming up in like the next whatever birthday, Christmas, whatever, I was like, if you could just purchase me all wooden white hangers for my closet that are all the same, that would be just the dream.
I thought you were going to say someone nominate you for the Fab Five for your birthday present.
Do you think that I need to be
I don't think that at all, but I thought that was what you were going to say. Who wouldn't take a free home renovation and all that TV time?
Yeah, I would actually ugly myself up just to have Bobby come in and like redo it all. Yeah. Maybe they do that because some of these people, it's like, I can't even fathom how their houses get like that. But yeah, I feel like I would, TLC was like, where it was at. I mean, I would watch all of those shows just to see it like from before and after. I was just so like into the whole makeover, especially when it came to the home design stuff. That was always the best part, where it was, you know, they would take this house and just like in 3 days completely make it into this like glorious place. And I was just so jealous of that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I was definitely into that aspect of it. And when the original was on, Carson Kressley was like obviously everyone's favorite. And the way he did the fashion and the closet remakes of everyone, it was always such a joy to watch him. So that was what made me excited to watch this one. But then I did feel like when this came on, it definitely had like, it took it to another level of being, like Lita said, like a little bit more highbrow, emotional. Like they really lean into the fact that they're having a connection with these people and trying to remake them on the cultural level as well as the like the design. Whereas I do feel like the previous one was much more about the makeover.
Yeah, it's also more political now.
Sure.
Than what I remember.
And
although
leaning into that.
Yeah, the old one isn't. I went back and watched one old episode, just a random episode in preparation for this, of the original, and it actually wasn't as dated as I thought it would be.
That's good.
Yeah, I kind of thought the fashion is incredibly dated, but
Of course.
Yeah, but it actually didn't make me cringe as much as like some of its contemporary shows, like going back and watching episodes of Sex and the City now sometimes. Like I thought it would be like that, but there weren't a lot of yikes moments. But what do you think, Kirsten?
Yeah, so I totally agree. I feel like I come from the total trash makeover perspective. Like I was all about What Not to Wear and 10 Years Younger and all these shows. Yes. And when they started getting like nicer and more touchy feely, I was like, oh, I'm not interested in this anymore. I just want to take someone doesn't look good and make them look good. And that's kind of my thoughts on it. So I was excited when this was coming out, but I was worried that I wouldn't enjoy it in the same way because it would be more of that like touchy feely emotional thing. But then I found myself like from the first episode where they're saying, you know, the first series was looking for tolerance and now we're working for acceptance. I just like burst into tears and I was like, oh, so now I have emotions. Okay, cool. And I just...
Well, and I think they do it in a way that like it's, they're not forcing you to like, they're not putting like forcing, I don't want to say forcing, but like shoving it in your face. They're like guiding you along with them. They're like taking your hand and walking you along with them. You know, it's like you're with them every step of the way. They're not just like, this is it, accept it. Like, you are with the person that they're helping. Like You Can't Fix Uckley is the first episode and like you are with Tom the whole way. So I feel like that's maybe how they do it. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys are just like so enigmatic and you just like immediately click with them and you can like, I don't know, have like an emotional connection with them. So I feel like maybe some of the guys from the previous iteration weren't as emotionally available perhaps.
Yes. Yeah. that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's nice to see it take like that new spin. And it is just such a positive show, which I feel like in 2018 is exactly what the world needs right now, with some positivity and some light. And it definitely provides like some hope and happiness in what is not the happiest time in the world.
Yeah.
And so what are,
and they do it in a way that I think is not like, I think that there are a lot of TV shows that are like feel good that people say that they watch it as an escape. And I think that Queer Eye fits in that category, but it's also not like they ignore the political situation. Like they do confront it in some episodes. And I think that just comes from the fact that like all of the guys have, you know, within reason, pretty different politics. You know, you see how Bobby feels about religion versus Karamo, or like, you know, Antony's
feels about the police in that one episode.
Yeah. Or,
I was shaken.
I know that like Antony and Jonathan did an interview where Antony was like, oh, I would totally do an episode with the Colorado cake guy who didn't make a cake for the gay couple. Jonathan was like, no, absolutely not. And I think that's good that they have that diversity of life experience. Yeah. Some of them have kids, some of them are married, some of, you know, Jonathan's single. And I think that it allows you to feel good and escape in a way without letting you just kind of ignore the realities of being a gay person in America.
Yeah, it's like a vacation instead of like to escape.
Yeah,
totally. And I will say I really enjoy that they changed it from Queer Eye for Straight Guy to just Queer Eye so that they could like mix it up a little bit. And they're doing women and they're doing straight men and they're doing gay men and they're just like finding people that need help and really like leaning into that instead of it being, you know, like we make over straight men because we're gay men and they can like get help from us. Where it's like, no, we're intelligent, you know, like enigmatic people. And like we can help everyone because we're amazing. Like, so they just sort of like took that away, which I appreciated because I did sort of think that created a dichotomy that, you know, wasn't always helpful in the previous iteration. So
yeah, there's like the stereotypes of just like these five gays
can
they can just like fix your life because gays love fashion. And it's like these are guys who are like experts in their discipline independent of their sexuality, and then being gay just adds this element of community to the show and to each other
and humor. And like they lean into it in some points. They're just like, yeah, like you wouldn't expect five homos to take you paintballing in that Sean Van Meter episode. And they're just like being funny about certain things, but like that's not what it's about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like in the original Queer Eye, we would have never seen them making a church community center. That just wouldn't have been an option or something that would happen. And to see that and have all their different perspectives. Yeah, right. Exactly. Even just the fact that they're in Atlanta is huge. Like I was watching this with my boyfriend and he was like, he made some sort of comment and he's like, oh, well, where even are they? And I was like, they're in Georgia. It's like, oh my God, what?
Yeah, they're all in Georgia. Yeah.
Well, I read an article about Jonathan that was done by a blog about saving money. It was, they basically interviewed him just, you know, as a person that, you know, has made it. And, you know, obviously it's a blog about how to, you know, save money and be a penny pincher and just really like be financially stable. And it was about his ability to, you know, how he got to where he is and how he grew up like in a pretty normal middle of the road American family, but he went to college and then didn't want to be in college and then decided to become a hairdresser. And his mom was like, well, we're not going to pay for that. You have to do that for yourself and then we'll see. And then like he got loans and then like his parents, like after that, like his grandfather just like paid off his student loans because he was like, well, I wanted to see if you were serious. But he said the reason they went to Georgia, it was like a decision that they made because they were like, well, we can help more people and we can give more to them monetarily. So it was like actually a pretty like distinctive decision that they decided to make it in Atlanta, Georgia. Like they had to move there, a lot of them, so that they could help people and give them more money because of the cost of living and the ability to like so like Bobby could do more, like Jonathan could, they could buy them more clothes because they didn't have like a big budget the first season. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Also,
well, there's lots of tax benefits to filming in Georgia too, right? So that probably also played a huge role.
Yeah,
I think everything is filmed in Georgia.
Oh, is it?
a lot of times you'll be watching a movie and at the end the little like Georgia peach comes up. I think it's the same kind of reason why stuff's filmed in Canada as well.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, and it's also I think a good location because you have Atlanta itself, which generally has a lot of Democrats, but then you can also go around and find people who maybe feel more isolated in their communities because there are all of these rural Georgia communities where, like, you know, being gay or being a trans person or even being Black or whatever, you might need the Fab Five more than like if you live in LA and constantly have access to other queer people.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. So, okay, so do we want to just go into the Fab Five and then see where that takes us?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so
who do we want to talk about first?
I feel like let's start with Jonathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like you have to start with Jonathan.
Jonathan Van Ness. So yeah, I'm obsessed. I mean, who isn't?
Anyone who's not is not someone I want to be associated with, basically.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcast now, so I'm a big fan of his podcast. Do you guys listen to his podcast?
No, but it was just advertised on, I think, Keep It, or one other podcast that I really like was just talking about it, and I just learned about it, so I'm definitely going to download.
I just learned about it right now.
It's called Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. He does mostly just whatever he wants. So there's a lot of interviews with the Queer Eye guys. So he's done that, like one-on-ones with them, kind of like how Taryn does with everyone on Rap, okay. Which is amazing because that's, I feel like you learn a lot about people. But then he also just does like things that are of interest to him. Like there was one, I'm going to look it up because there's an episode and they're always titled something really, really stupid. Like very Jonathan-y, but he was like, how can we be less rude to bees was the name of one of the episodes. Like, how can we be less rude to bees? You know, so like stuff like that. Like it's informative, but it's funny because it's informational about him and like just sort of in his Jonathan way. But yeah, like I said, I should share that article with you guys. Like I found it to be just so, it made me such a big fan of him. Like learning about where he came from and, you know, where he, how he grew, you know, up and how he got to where he was and how he, you know, really worked hard to become a hairstylist. And he was an assistant for a long time in a famous salon, which really, like, I don't know if you know anything about that, is like terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a, and then additionally, he was of Gay of Thrones.
We can
talk about that too. What do you guys think about Jonathan?
I love Jonathan and think that he is so necessary to this group because everyone else either. So Tan's married, Bobby's married, Brahmo has a child, and Anthony is in a very serious relationship. Jonathan is the only one that kind of has like the young, single, like for lack of a better phrase, extremely gay perspective that I'm used to in the gay men that I'm surrounded by. So I think he is more of the millennial voice because even though he's probably a similar age to a lot of them, he just feels more like a recognizable gay figure to my life, which I think the great thing about the Fab Five is that probably that's different for a lot of people, depending on how old you are or where you live or whatever. Everybody probably has a different one. But Jonathan to me is kind of like the most radical, the most political, kind of the most like identifiable voice to me. And I think that's really important. I don't know what you wouldn't like about Jonathan. Like if you're one of those people who says that like he's too much, like that is veiled homophobia. Like he's not, that's a silly thing to say. And
it's like maybe on TV he can be like a little bit excessive in certain moments, but like that's part of his charm, you know.
It's just, it's who he is. Yeah. Everyone who meets him says that like they didn't believe that he could really be like that all the time, but he really is just this genuine, sweet, caring person who he cheered all the way through high school and he cheered in college.
Yeah, he was
like
a cheerleader.
Yeah, that's just who he is, and to say he's too much is like, all right. You know, I think it's a silly criticism. So I
and
deeply
it's not
love
that he
Jonathan.
Got like what he has by not trying. You know, I feel like that's like what people are saying when they say like he's too much. Like he, you know, I feel like sometimes they think like because there's a lot of commentary about some of the guys, like Anthony included, like just sort of falling into this role, falling into like what they have right now with Queer Eye, like. These guys like all worked extremely hard to get to where they are. And yes, they auditioned and landed a role on Queer Eye and now are, you know, by luck of the draw, it happens to have worked out really well. But it doesn't mean that he didn't work hard to get there. Like he has like a career because he did it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like, even he was on, I don't know if you saw the clip, he was doing hair on the Drag Race finale.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't watch the video, but I just feel like whenever like I introduce like my like straight male friends to my friends who are like drag queens, they'll always be like, oh, like he was a lot. And it always reads to me as like, would you say that about like a really bro-y, like energetic straight person? Like, I don't know. But Kirsten, spill your tea on Jonathan.
Yeah. So I've written down, like, he's so important. He's the one who kind of blends like the masculine and feminine energies the most. I love how he talks about it as moon and sun energy. And yeah, if people are saying like,
oh my gosh, yes, he's
too much. It's like, well, everyone's too much in their own way. And if you have a problem with him, it's like, to me, very jarring. And it kind of shows what your perspective on people is, and it really bothers me. I think the only criticism that I could really have of Jonathan is that sometimes he makes some interesting beard decisions.
He's anti-beard.
A beard that he shouldn't shave off.
I'm pretty anti-beard too, though. So whenever he does it, like,
I know you are, Angela, and we need to. it's something that has stifled our relationship for so long.
It's true.
In case someone doesn't know this about me, if you've never listened to my podcast, I love a beard. I love it. I think that every single man in the world looks better with a beard than he does without it. And Jonathan was so anti-beard this season. It felt like every beard got cut off. And sometimes it wasn't, like, even looking objectively as like someone who is not, even if I wasn't a beard lover, I felt like once in a while it looked like objectively worse.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the middle of the road. I think some people look better with a beard, some people look better with stubble, some people look better clean shaven. But I feel like especially like in the last episode of season two with Ted, like,
agreed.
Ted should have had some stubble at least.
I thought he was going to leave him with stubble, though. They had a conversation about it, and he was like, yeah, we'll bring it down. And then all of a sudden he comes out of the chair and you're like, okay.
Yeah, so he like slips with the razor. He's like, oh, sorry.
Maybe.
And I think with Sky, who is the trans man, like, it seemed like his beard was really important to him as like an affirmation of his gender confirmation.
I was really glad that the stubble was left, and they did talk about it, but I do think like more should have been left because it's something so important to him.
Yeah,
I think it was probably more of like, oh, the way it is right now, we can't, because that's also, again, like, I don't know much about beards, but I don't know if you can like, to shape it, do you have to make it less and then let it grow in, like, who knows.
Who knows?
And I'm certainly not the expert on grooming a beard, but I feel like you can just like trim it and it's okay.
Yeah, who knows? Like, again, like, like, he talks sometimes about beards, and like the one guy was sitting in the chair, Arian, and he's like, you're going to need a pre-shave and a post-shave and this and that, and we're putting the towel on your face to make the hair stand up. And I was like, Mike, are you listening? Because this is what you should be doing, because you get the bumps. Like, I was like, let's rewind that. Like, you know, like, is like a very like informational, like whenever Jonathan's talking, I'm like, oh wow, like he's giving us like tips.
Yeah, and the beard phobia is weird because Jonathan has such a great beard.
Yeah,
I don't think especially it's a phobia. Right now,
I think it's just what he thinks might be expected because it's a transformation Tuesday, as he says. You know,
Well,
that's the one problem with him, is he makes some questionable beard decisions. Like, not everyone needs to lose the beard. It's okay.
Yeah.
If anything, always take it away. He doesn't always take it away.
You should provide people with beards. You should get them beard wigs.
Lena. I think in season one, there's more beards. And then it's like such a stark difference in season two that it takes so many beards away that maybe we're like harping on it a little much, ladies.
No. This is important. Okay. This is an important political issue.
Always harp on beards.
I will always.
I like how a lot of the guys, though, like, and this is what Sky does as well, they pretty consistently are like, can you make my hair look like Tam's hair? Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I would say the same thing. If I met Tan and I was getting a makeover the next day, I'd be like, can I look like Tan? Like,
just in every single way.
Gorgeous.
He looks like a beautiful, like, Alaskan wolf person.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I don't know how he managed that color, but it's like, I mean, he probably does something to it to, like, make it, like, stand closer to God, as Jonathan would say. But
he definitely does something to it.
No, but like spends like an excessive amount of time on it, you know, like before the filming. Like, I'm sure that's not his everyday look, but so who should we talk about next? Anything left on Bob or on Jonathan?
I want to talk Bobby.
I want to talk Bobby.
Okay, Angela's excited. Well, let's go to Bobby.
What are your thoughts on Bobby, Angela?
I love Bobby. I felt like the initial season one, I was like, oh, okay, well, like, he doesn't stand out to me, you know, like, he was out of the Fab Five. He definitely was the one person in the first like few episodes where I was like, he's not the most, like, he didn't have the most personality. Like, he was definitely the quietest. He was, like, not the typical, like, what you would expect out of the Fab Five. But, like, over the course of season one and season two, he's become, like, the most, I would say, fleshed out, like, character, if that makes sense. Like, we know where he comes from, that he was adopted, that he grew up in the Bible Belt, and that he left his parents when he was 15 because they, you know, he felt really disconnected from the church. And, like, I feel like we've gotten such, like, a meaty story about Bobby that I, like, I love him. I just feel so connected to him. And then what he does in 3 days is buck wild.
Yeah, it he is by like, far yeah. is the MVP. Like, he does the most work every single episode.
It's insane. Yes. It's insane. And, like, when they do the before and the after, like, the design choices, if we could say that Jonathan makes poor beard choices, Bobby makes, like, the best choices for these men that, like, and women in Tammy's case. But I feel like he goes in and he really sees what's going on and what's needed. And he, like, he, you know, he doesn't make it, like, too masculine if it's not supposed to be. And he, you know, he's making things, I think he has an opinion about a space, but he's definitely understanding what it is for them as well. Like, I like to think about Sky's space, and, like, he went in there and he, like, made it so, like, apt to what was needed for Sky, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So it's just like Extreme Makeover to me. Like, pull the bus away. It's that extreme every yes. single time. It's always. So good. Like, it's never just like, oh, a coat of paint and you're good. It's always just like so beautiful. Even when they go to like IKEA, he still came out with like a beautiful space.
Yes.
And yeah, he does like, he has these conversations with the heroes, and it just like, you can see how it helps bring them out of their shell as well. And that's such an important part of it, that he doesn't just do design. He kind of does like life design as well. And I really like that about him.
Yeah. When he takes Jason, the handyman, to the neon company and like helps him even like build like the thing on the hubcap.
Yeah. Like the neon light.
Yeah. And I felt like that was just really like, he noticed that he like clearly has an eye, like he doesn't need help like being like artistic or understanding like what taste and what isn't taste. He needs help like refining that. And like, he was like, okay, well, let's practice that.
Yeah.
It's just so cute.
I will, because so Kirsten slid in with a criticism of Jonathan. My only thing with Bobby is that I do feel like he and also Karamo a little bit are a little bit old fashioned in the ways
a little bit
that they experience queerness, which, again, there is nothing wrong with that. The great thing about this is that all five of these men have very different experiences of their gayness. But especially in the Sky episode, when he was like, being gay is just like a part of you are of who you are. It's not who you are. I'm going to take down all these rainbow flags or whatever. It's like, I don't know, like if being trans or being queer or whatever is like a huge part of this person's identity, I don't think it's up to anybody else, yeah. even other queer people, to say they, like, it shouldn't
yeah.
be.
Yeah, but did you see he put in the framed rainbow photo that said love is love? He just exactly. gave him like a more refined like, way to keep it in the space.
With Bobby, he always like, he says things, but he never like follows through on like completely redefining that, like, with the like what you're saying. I completely under like, I see it all, like the traditional like homosexual values and things like that. Like, I do think he does that, but yeah, like you're saying, Kirsten, he definitely like was like backtracked it and was like, okay, but yeah, you're right, this is a really big part of him, so let me put that back up in a frame, like right. let me just frame it because it needed to be nice.
Yeah, like, let me just make it fit the space, but we're gonna exactly. also have it fit your personality.
He was like, I get where you're coming from, but I need to make it cute. So.
Which I connect with. So that's fine.
Yeah, I totally get that as well.
But yeah, it's a fair criticism, Lita.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else on Bobby? Oh my God, I love him. I'm just like, I want him to come redo my home.
I just want to hang out with him for a day and have like a deep life chat with him. I would say the one thing of Bobby too is like, he definitely like, well, and all of them, none of them like stay in one lane of like, oh, I'm doing culture, I'm doing food, I'm doing mm-hmm. this, I'm doing that. They all kind of, they blur the lines a bit. And I do really like that. And that's I feel like Bobby does that more than anyone else.
Yeah, maybe. I like when Bobby comes on like the buddy cop adventures where like it's like we've just yes. got like this rando activity today that like you're going to go on with a partner. I like when Bobby comes on that because it's fun to see him interacting with the people.
Yeah, like when Jonathan gives who was it, Leo? They give him pedicures and like face masks and Bobby's just there.
Yeah, like the Tan is going to go to Anthony's cooking class. Like they do a lot of that. And I like when Bobby is there because you don't get as much because he's working on something that doesn't involve like the cooking and the styling, the grooming and the culture. You all have to physically be with the person. But for the home renovation, you don't. So it's nice that when Bobby does get those opportunities.
Yeah, I love being on Bobby watch. I'm like, oh, there he is.
He's very, very sassy. And he like definitely is like, he definitely comes out with these like one-liners. Like he'll be really silent when like Karamo is talking. And then like all of a sudden he'll just like come out with like a quip. Like when Karamo is talking with Sean, and he'll be like, Karamo's like, it's really, you know, it's hard, you know, to like, to make these kind of conversations happen and blah, blah, blah. And Bobby will be like, yeah, it's really difficult working with other people.
And Karamo like doesn't get it for a second. He's just
like Bobby, like
so good. Okay, so I feel like that's all on Bobby. Anything else?
No? I love him. Okay. He's great.
Let's Lita, do you want to choose who we go to?
Oh, I just said we were talking about him, so I thought we would go to him. But yeah,
to Karamo. Let's transition into Karamo because we were just talking about him.
Perfect. Okay, I feel like he's the one where it's like. Culture, like what does that even mean? And like in some episodes it's like what's he doing, but then in other episodes you're like, oh my god, it's so important that he's here, and I'm so glad that he's here helping. Like when he went with Skylar to go get like the gender marker change on his license, like I'm like, oh, this is why he's here, like stuff like this.
Or it's like a really difficult episode, like the one with Ariane where he's like a liar and like they really
like we're gonna bring a lie detector.
Or like they all have to work really hard. Like it's not an easy episode. Like Karamo's like really necessary, where there are some, you're right, where it's like, you know, it's like a dad and it's like clearly there's not much that needs to change on the culture end besides like maybe put your family and wife first and clean up your act. Like
he's literally like part life coach, part therapist. Where sometimes you're right, it's like we have to like seriously break down these walls and like work on this deep-seated issue, and then sometimes it's like we're gonna go to an Ariel Silks class for some reason because getting out of your comfort zone is literally Karamo's catch-all solution to everything.
Also Burning Man.
As long as you can overcome like one moment of anxiety, your whole life is fixed in Karamo's book.
Is that not how it works?
You just have to do paintball. You just have to go to a class. You just have to do one thing that you're not used to, and then it'll set your whole life on track.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
If that's how it works, great, great, amazing.
Yeah, I do like him. I think that of the five of them, except maybe Anthony, he comes off as the most like TV person. I think Karamo,
have you seen his eyebrows?
Well, he's beautiful, but I just mean like his general demeanor is very like camera ready. He's like on. And I think that makes him seem sometimes a little more rehearsed and a little more stiff than Jonathan or a Bobby or a Tan. But they're on TV. They're not professional actors necessarily. So I'm sure that
For him, I feel like he's sometimes just, for me, not the most approachable. Like he comes off a little like standoffish in sometimes. Like he's somebody who like maybe in certain situations, I think, recedes into himself. So I think that maybe, and I think he said that a few times too. He just like, he sometimes is uncomfortable in certain situations and then isn't his like bubbly self. And then certain times you can see that he's like very like out there and outgoing. And, you know, so it's like, I think he's one of those people, whereas like with Jonathan, he'll step into any situation and be just like enigmatic and like really open and really like ready to hit the ground running. Whereas like Karamo's like, okay, well, I'm uncomfortable and I'm not going to talk now, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's like hard because it's, you know, it's like when you're the person who's in charge of culture, you do sort of need to be like the one that's like maybe a little bit more like ready to go at all times. But it's like, you know, with the Dega Don't like cop situation, he was like, he shut down the rest of the day because he was like, I'm uncomfortable around police, you know, like,
yeah,
which is like understandable. Like, yes, what kind of a prank is that to pull on someone? Like, oh, I'm a cop.
That was terrible. I need to so pull them over.
I was like, what is happening right now?
I got really uncomfortable.
So I'll admit that's the one episode I skipped because someone told me it was about a cop and I don't F with cops.
It was fine. Like the family was good. Like, I feel like his wife was really pleasant and like the guy was good, but he's like a Talladega like fan. So it's like very much in that vein.
I don't know what that means.
So he's like a big NASCAR guy and he does like a lot of like NASCAR type party things. And it was more focused on that than about the actual like police aspect. But there was at the start, obviously, like, his friend who nominated him like pulls over the Fab Five, and of course Paramo's driving. That's and disgusting. He's like, oh, you don't have your driver's license with you, like, can you step out of the car? And it's like a really scary moment, and he goes,
they made it really scary.
Well, it is really that in real life Karamo's life could be in danger, and he knows that if that happens to him.
I didn't appreciate that at all. I felt like really uncomfortable with it, but I felt like that was like one of the moments where I felt like if something like that happens for Karamo, he does like lean in like to himself a little bit more. He recedes in, you know?
Yeah.
Which is totally fair.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I also think it's the thing where when we have like the less like quote unquote difficult cases, I feel like they would benefit more from like 3 weeks of life coaching with Karamo rather than like the 3 days or a week or whatever that they actually get. Like, I feel like it's not that much time to really see an impact. So he really can only do that one, like, okay, we'll step outside our comfort zone one time and hopefully you will do that on your own after I'm gone.
And so Paramo's also one of the only people on Queer Eye that has former TV experience. So he was somebody from the real world.
Paramo was on the real world?
Yeah, he's from the Real World Philadelphia in 2004.
Wow. The Real World is a big reality TV blind spot for me.
So when I looked him up, he's the first out gay black man on reality TV.
Wow.
Oh, I love him.
And then he also, it says on his like Wikipedia page that he served as like a host and producer on HuffPost Live, reoccurring guest host of Access Hollywood Live in 2014. He was like on this other show, and then he's currently the host of MTV's Are You the One Second Chances?
Wait, no.
He's so famous.
I think I watched one episode of Are You the One Second Chances because I watched it too,
and I don't remember him.
Me neither. I mean, it was before we knew who he was from Queer Eye.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like a huge activist, but.
Yeah, I think I watched one episode of that because I love Are You the One, but Second Chances was much for me.
But he was definitely in a bunch of things before Queer Eye, starting in 2004, obviously, and he was on Real World Road Rules Challenge as well.
Wow.
Oh, so maybe he'll be on the challenge at some point soon.
I mean, I think maybe he's given that up since 2005, but...
Hey, you never know.
Well, that explains...
Go ahead.
That explains why I think, like, he comes off as kind of stiff to me, because he's got, like, all this hosting experience. Yeah.
I also have a question about him that, like, I wasn't able to figure out, but, like, he always talks about his kid, like, he got his kid, and, like, he adopted he's like the father of a 10-year-old boy. Like, he has two kids, basically. He has like a son that is his, I guess, and then he adopted the kid's half brother in 2010. When he's on the show, he's like, when I got my kids. And it's always
I think the scenario was that he wasn't aware that he was this child's father. Yeah. Until he was 10. Yeah. So I think got my kid means like I was notified of my child's existence.
The way you made it sound was though, like the way you like adopt children as like a gay man.
Sounds like he went and picked it up at a store.
Yeah. That's what I thought he meant.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact circumstances are, but worth noting,
he has children too, which is like a interesting fact.
Yeah, He's the only one I think that has children of the Fab Five.
Yeah.
Also, I learned recently that he went to Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Because he was like doing a lot of activism around it, which what like a lot of celebrities are.
That's crazy.
But then I saw that he was like from that area and looked it up, and he went to that high school.
That is nuts.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
He's a great person. I do feel like he was the right fit for that role too, because he definitely like has the experience, but also has like clearly the I don't want to say gusto is the right word, but like the drive, the interest, the like want to like bring these people out of their shells, to like remake them over in the cultural way. So I do think that like from what I'm hearing about the way this was casted, it was like an audition process, but I wonder who they already had in the mix. And he seems like maybe one of the people they already had in the mix. And like,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like he's a great fit for that role. You know, somebody who can like really bring people together. So awesome. Love him. Of course. Love them all.
Yeah, it's like how do you pick to not love one of them? I don't know how that's possible.
There's one that is not
I know
popular.
That you hate Antony, and
I don't it's a
we're
popular opinion to hate Antony.
Yeah, I don't. I love him.
And I love him.
Okay,
so
we'll
much.
Talk yeah. about Antony. Why do you guys love him, Kirsten?
Because he's cute. No, just
he's well. I mean, first of all, he is super cute, but he really just reminds me of somebody else that I know. And like gives me warm
Mayer?
Fuzzies. No, I don't know anything about John Mayer. I'm sorry.
Well, he looks like Antony.
Right?
What?
Is that why you love him? Do you love him because he's Canadian too?
I don't. He just like reminds me of people that I know. And so it could be the Canadian thing that he's like in line with like a lot of the like Canadian gay people that I know.
But
maybe.
He's French Canadian. It's a whole different world over there.
Hey, my boyfriend's French Canadian. I have no problem with people from Quebec.
And but I also really I like his accent. Is. Like he's got like a really weird way of talking, and I enjoy it. I don't
he
know
speaks
why.
Like so precisely mm-hmm. all the and time, like and I love him so much. And the only thing is, like, it's like, okay, well, you taught them how to make one thing, and in one case, it was an omelet. Like,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So my take about
like
this
point.
Yeah, my take about this, and like people suspecting that he can't cook or whatever. Like, I think that he can cook fine. It's,
yes.
First of all, it doesn't matter to me. This is not like a Food Network Agreed. Show where like
Truly.
He has to be an amazing cook. That's not why he was hired. But you know, he's dealing with people who in many cases are starting from square one. So like, it's fine. I think that, I'm kind of an Antony apologist, not as much as you do. I don't like love him, but I always
think
it's
his skyliner.
Yeah, I think a lot of the criticisms
so
are a little unfair. But I think that it's important that he's there because he represents some like a different gay experience than often what we see in media, where he's kind of like, for a long time, I was very uncomfortable with like sex and like all these things that
yeah, almost like asexual, you know, in a way.
Yeah, it's just an experience of like that a lot of gay people have, but isn't as talked about as much because I feel like gay representation in media is often so sexualized that having Antony be like, you know, the kind of a self-admitted like prude in some ways, and it took him a really long time to be comfortable like wearing a crop top, which now he's doing on Instagram all the time, or like wearing eyeliner or whatever, you know, like I think coming into that experience and for him to be as young as he is and have kind of experienced that struggle and some of that internalized homophobia, I think it's an important perspective. That said, he's too, and I know he's not from America, he's too apolitical for my taste. He's too kumbaya.
That makes sense for you though.
Yeah, it's I don't see him, you know, out there doing the kinds of things that Karamo and Jonathan are doing to like better the community as a whole. And that's not necessarily like his responsibility. He is a person hired on a TV show. I understand that. But he's just the one that I, speaking of stiff, like that I don't see as the most naturally charismatic.
Yeah, exactly. I think that he's somebody who is sort of fell into a spotlight that is focused on the like LGBT community, LGBT plus community. And I do feel like he like that's great and that's amazing, and he definitely belongs in that realm. But I do feel like maybe he wasn't aware that that would involve like maybe him having to then, you know, be involved in these other areas, like having to stand up for rights and all that other stuff. You know, like he sort of sees it as like kind of a glamorous thing, I think, and that's fine as well because it can be. But you know, it's like at this point in time, the climate also sort of calls for maybe some resistance. So,
well, and it also is like he's from Canada and he's from one of like the most liberal parts of Canada.
So, it's just sort of
I'm sure it's very foreign to him to go somewhere where that's not the reality and where things are different. Whereas like I come from like the least liberal part of Canada. So it's like
that's interesting too, because
like
that's
see
I'm
it
not
in
aware
a different
of.
Way. So it's like, it's very, like I can see where he comes from because he's from like that more liberal side of things, like in already a more liberal country. So I kind of can see how he could maybe think, oh, like this isn't my responsibility. And obviously it could be argued that he, like as someone with a platform, he does have a responsibility, but at what point is it like, let him live his life? Like,
well, it's also, tough. This has only come out like this year. So maybe as it goes on, he'll step into the limelight a little bit more.
Yeah, he doesn't have the background in activism, which in some ways it's probably better that he's not like speaking out of school because like,
I mean, just, it's a background in psychology. Maybe you can take that, right?
Yeah.
He's a degree in psychology from a liberal arts school.
Yeah. So I think it's
who
best
doesn't?
That he just doesn't speak too much out of turn about something that he isn't that familiar with.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah. But I think once in a while he'll put his foot in his mouth. But I think overall Antony is overhated.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely overhated.
A little history about him too. Cause so he obviously like the whole thing about him being hated is because he's not a chef. He's not teaching these guys, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, I mean, the reason he's on the show, I mean, is sort of credited to Ted Allen, who is the original Queer Eye food and wine expert and current host of the Food Network show Competition Chopped. So I guess they became friends for a time when they were living in New York City, and Antony became Allen's personal chef. Like he worked for him. So, I mean, that alone sort of says like, hey, he probably knows more than me. Like he, you know, like he knows more than the average Joe. So, I mean, that I think that, yes, he doesn't have a culinary degree and maybe he, you know, but you'd learn a lot of things on the streets, like working in restaurants and all that stuff. And so I think that, you know, saying that he doesn't have a skill is sort of like, you know, hey, you didn't do your research. Yes, he does have a skill. But what he's going on the show to do is not teach people how to make foie gras. Like he's teaching people how to add actual like realistic actionable like things to their lives to make them healthier and happier. You know, the one episode he goes in and he's like the last episode of the series of this past season, it was like they are healthy people, they eat quinoa bowls, like they didn't need his help for cooking, they needed his help for a dinner party. So he took them to like show them how to like eat out at a restaurant, you know, like
how
know,
to
stuff
arrange
like that.
The silverware.
So it's like he's not always teaching them how to cook, and that's the point of the show. It's like they're not always teaching them exactly the like how to make a meal. It's, you know, what do you need my help for? And like for the kid that was 18, it's like he's not teaching him how to make a gourmet meal. He taught him how to make an omelet because that's what an 18-year-old needs to know how to cook. You know, he needs to know how to make like easy things because he's going to college, you know?
Yeah.
So I am like you, an apologist for him. I think that he's doing a great job. He's taking what the people on the show are need and he's helping them with that.
I will say
the guacamole thing was
stop putting Greek yogurt and everything, it's disgusting. But
that
I will
is
say,
true.
I do think the jokes about him on Twitter, like everybody kind of ragging on him, is funny because it's punching up. You know, he's doing fine. He's the most beautiful man in the world when this highly successful job.
Like,
yeah, so if you want to make fun of Antony, I will not stop you at all. And also I thought it was really annoying when he was at that vegetarian couple's house and he was looking in the freezer and he was like, ugh, veggie meatballs, ew,
funny,
just
yeah,
eat vegetables.
Yeah, that draw. That
it's not the same
well,
thing, dude.
It's not the same thing. Like, there's not a lot of options, especially for those people who live in the middle of nowhere,
in, like,
Georgia.
Rural, yeah, like, exactly.
You got to have an option in your freezer from time to time. You know, like maybe there wasn't, like they didn't have it there. You know, so.
Sometimes you just want a vegan chicken nugget or 12, and that's fine.
Or 12, yeah. That's fine.
And that's coming Anthony. From a professed vegan.
Yes.
The expert vegan on the Rahap Network.
So we saved the best for last, my favorite for last, and I'm happy about that.
Yes, Tan.
Tan France.
Tan France, French talk expert.
Yes.
I'm telling everybody to do the French talk, and everyone hates me. It's fine.
What's funny is that his name is Tan France and no one had ever heard of a French tuck until this. And I'm wondering if he just made it up and named it after himself.
He might have.
I'm a huge fan of that. I hope he did.
Yeah, it's cute.
He's amazing. I
love him.
So he was somebody that grew on me as well. Like he was like just like Bobby. Like I didn't really know what to make of him the first couple episodes because I had never heard of him. Mm-hmm. So it was like, who are you? What's your deal? Like, are you really going to be a great fashion expert? But like clearly I should have known because he's beautiful, but
yeah.
He definitely like by the end of this last episode, like I was like, oh god, you're killing me with that sweatsuit and that handkerchief around your neck, like
yeah,
just making he's great.
He is someone that I think that I maybe started out being like, I don't know how much I'm going to connect with this person just because he is exactly. So unattainably beautiful. And he has
he's a little standoffish.
Yeah. And he has this mysterious accent and like all of these things going for him. He's like a little bit older looking because of the salt and pepper hair in the best possible way. But he is so silly in a lot of ways. And I think whereas, especially someone like Karamo, who does have so much experience working in the gay community, so he rightfully is confident in his opinions. I think Tan is more willing to admit that he's wrong about something or that he just doesn't know about something. And it's much more refreshing to see one of the members of the Fab Five not telling someone how they should experience their gayness, but just asking good questions, just from a place of like, I grew up somewhere else and like I am married forever and don't, you know, have these struggles or whatever. So like, just tell me what's going on, like what's up. And it's never in a condescending way. And he never pushes back. He just is such a good listener and just is so kind. And I think has moments of silliness. Like I didn't relate to it because I love dogs, but when that one family had a dog,
oh my God,
and he was
yes.
like, I've got a great idea. What if the dog stays out here? And it's like,
I died. So I died when he hopped into Karamo's arms. Yeah. He was like, oh my God, it was so funny.
Yeah,
I also
Tan
think
is
it's
my
super,
favorite.
Super important that there is somebody of like Muslim or like Middle Eastern culture on the show because more often than not, like we don't see that represented. Mm-hmm. And I do think that like he brings a lot to the table with that, especially when they're making over people of that heritage. I found that was like a really interesting like storyline. You know, he was able to connect with those people on that level. And I found that to be like one of the more like interesting and I would say like deep things that he was like able, you know, it helped me connect to him.
Yeah. I don't know of like any story that I can think of on TV that explores like the South Asian relationship with gayness
at all.
It's certainly rare.
They're just not out there.
Right. So
yeah, then it's like the South Asian, like it's like relationship with gayness, then relationship with your parents. Then it's like how it relates to people that aren't gay and how they relate to their parents. And it was just like so many levels there. So I felt like that was amazing. So
yeah, definitely. And it's just like clothes are such a personal thing. And so I feel like he gets to know people on a different level so fast. And it's so nice that he is willing to, you know, lean into the people's personal style. Like he's not going for unattainable. It's not like 2005 What Not to Wear where they're like, we're going to take you to New York and show you trendy clothes. Like it's
sometimes
like
they go to Target.
Right. It's like, here's a like culture from Target and that works for you. And it's something that is going to work for your family and you look great and it's going for your body and your lifestyle. And it's not trendy. It's just clothes. It's classic. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to help you, as they say, zhuzh it up, but you know, it's definitely going to be within something that you can continue to do down the road. It's not going to just be something that will last for a year and then you'll be back to the old you because you don't know where to buy this stuff.
Exactly. And it's like with Ari where he was like, you know, actually, you've got a lot of clothes that I can work with. So, you know, we're going to actually work on some other
your
stuff
body.
Right
and
now.
And then they go to the gym.
And then I was like, where's Karamo right now?
I know.
But that's when what I love.
Gym, I need Tan to come to the gym with me, though. He is
talking about motivation.
Relentless.
Oh, my God. If relentless. I saw someone that looked like Tan at the gym.
Speed it up right now. And then he was like counting to 10. He was like, we're going to do five more. He's like, you lied to me. And he was just like, well, I'm allowed to lie.
It's just a little like, one. Yeah.
Oh, it's so... No, I have like a spin instructor who'll be like, this is our last 8 second sprint of the class. And then he's like, just kidding, another 8 seconds. And then I'm like,
I'll die.
You're like, I'll see you in hell.
How dare you? Like, you will rot for this.
Or when you're at a bar class and they're like, and 3, 2, 2, 2. And you're like, you bitch, I will kill you.
No, that's not how counting works, okay? How dare you do this to me? Like, I would resent him so much, but then afterwards I would appreciate him so much.
I do love that they allow for that flexibility in, like, their expertise where it's like, yeah, I guess normally Karamo would be the workout guy, but it's, like, related to his clothes. You know, like, they were talking about how he wanted to fit back into these clothes that he had, so that's still Tan's department, so they just let Tan do it because they had that relationship.
One, Karamo was busy with the lie detector test, I guess, so he didn't have time to go to the gym.
I would have been so pissed ripping up the results. I would have been like, are you kidding me?
They did that. Remember when they did that on The Bachelorette? And then she also didn't look at the results because she had already decided that she was going to marry Terrible Josh. I'm starting to wonder if all of these reality TV shows contract the same lie detector guy and the test doesn't even actually work. The producers are just like, you can't actually look
at
the results.
Perhaps.
Because I've never actually
seen...
You just
get handed a blank piece of paper at the end that's like, listen to your heart.
Yeah, I've never seen them actually read the results of a lie detector test on a reality show.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
I think we cracked the case wide open here, guys. Yeah.
Definitely did. Sorry about that tangent.
Sorry.
Anything so then, else on Tan? And other than he's gorgeous and we love him?
I feel like we've covered Tan pretty well. What about you, Leva?
He is my favorite. And
he is. I was going to ask, who is everyone's favorite? Do we have a favorite?
I love Jonathan deeply, but Tan is my number one. I think that he's such a different character than we usually get to see on TV.
I think I'm not going to pick Bobby.
Wow.
Going to lie. My favorite might be Anthony.
Oh my God. None of us pick Jonathan. This are the only three women in the world that we could gather and no one picks Jonathan.
Like, I think Jonathan's
everyone's number one, though, so I feel like I'm picking somebody that's not Jonathan.
It's we're like, who's our unconventional?
One.
Yeah.
And then
Jonathan
else
gets enough
one?
Love, okay? Who's your other number one?
Yeah exactly. Jonathan's our group number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
The trio has chosen.
Oh, yeah. If
Jonathan.
This was like Oscar voting where you rank them, like Jonathan. Got it.
Yeah, for sure.
We've nailed it.
That's how
but
we do
wow.
things.
Kirsten, Anthony, what a hot
I
take.
Love, like, I just, I don't know what it is.
Him.
Maybe it is because he's Canadian. Like, I just
I'm
love
also
him.
Very into him. Like, I just like
he's
feel
so
like very
hot.
Like, drawn to him. Like the way he talks, like the way, like mm-hmm. he's just really good on TV. So maybe that's it as well.
I love like the physical comedy also of him like smelling and eating anything. And then he's like,
very,
what is that?
He's also very, what's the word for it? Like when you're like kind of like a baby fawn, like you just like, you're just new to the world. Like everything's just a little like,
yeah, he's so fresh.
So fresh. Yeah.
Exactly. I just want to wrap him in a warm blanket. Like,
exactly.
I can't help it.
I feel, yeah, there.
I think people are annoyed with how much he thirst traps on Instagram.
No, I love it.
Oh, yeah, he does.
I guess I didn't notice that.
Well, they can get over it.
Yeah, there's a lot of shirtless pics of Anthony on Instagram.
You know when you got it, flaunt it. It doesn't last forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's girls got to eat, okay?
Yeah, he's got to eat
anyway,
his Greek yogurt
on
guacamole.
That note.
Anyways.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like we've covered a lot of different things. Do you guys have any comments on the like the episodes themselves? Do you guys have any like things that we didn't talk about? I mean, did anyone watch the special from Australia?
Yes, Australia. Yes. I like kind of half watched it. I like had it on while I was doing something else.
Same.
Yeah, was it like really good?
It was good, yeah. I mean, it was just very similar to the other episodes. Except
I loved Bobby's
Australian
beard.
Accents, which was amazing. And like it was just so fun to watch them like in a different country, which was just again, like really fun. I will say that's something about the new season that like is good, that I love that they're in Georgia and I feel like it's really necessary, but I do sort of want to see them like somewhere else. So
yeah.
And I do sort of hear rumors that the next season will be somewhere else, but I like that they were in Australia.
Bobby had a great beard in that special. And that's my major takeaway.
Yes.
Yeah. They were in like vacation mode.
They should dedicate more time to that.
Yeah.
Just to watch that one. So like really absorb that.
Yeah, I think in terms of like episodes that stood out, obviously the Skylar episode I thought was hugely important for just like there are so many queer people.
Crazy, the way they did that cold open too.
Oh my God.
I had to skip that. I have like a thing about blood that I can't even see it.
That's what I mean. It was like, it was like, I did not expect that. And I was like, what am I watching? Am I going to be able to watch the rest of this episode? And I was just glad when it was over.
Right. I was just like from
glad
the moment
they showed it. But I also have a thing about, and I'm not squeamish, but I was shocked. I was like, ugh.
Yeah,
I was just like weeping like when they have him waking up after the surgery and looking down and seeing like his chest for the first time. I was like, this is so much.
Oh my God,
and I'm just so happy to see this on TV in a positive light and, you know, spreading more awareness.
I will say I hate Todrick Hall, so that was
a lot of people do, but is that because of him? He was good in that though. I felt like he was really, he came across
that was fun.
And
is it just like his Drag Race judging that you didn't like?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Because he's mean on Drag Race.
He is like, I don't know what kind of witch cursed him to defend Taylor Swift until he dies. But his kind of being Taylor Swift's black bestie who like stands up for everything that she says that is questionable has not been my favorite thing. Yeah. But I also am relentlessly anti-Taylor Swift, as everyone knows. So
yes, you are.
It's not like he did anything like bad or problematic. He's just not my favorite celebrity.
And I do think like that it was so nice for him to show up there and like really like that it was moving when they like when he came in there, because he really obviously meant a lot. So in that
sense, that was beautiful.
Like,
I cried regardless.
Yeah,
it's just beautiful. I was like that whole episode. I was crying.
Yeah.
And I'm not normally a big crier at all.
Exactly. I will say though that every episode of Queer Eye season 1 and 2 Mike cried at. So
the only one that I didn't cry at, and I noted this because it was, I thought it was weird that I didn't cry, was the one with the 18-year-old singer kid. That one didn't really connect with me. I was like, oh, he's a cute musician who's going to college and has a great apartment. Oh no.
Yeah. I know, right? He was also so awkward too. He reminded me a lot of like my brother when he was younger, and like just a little awkward, and like the way he was standing in front of the mirror, I was just like, this kid is too much. Like,
well, it's because he was homeschooled, right?
I know. Like, yeah.
Like he's never been around people his own age. That's tough to like overcome. Everyone I know who's been homeschooled is like, oh, like wow.
And I must say that Aryan was like gave me like shivers sometimes the way he was lying. I was like, kid.
Yeah, but he like, turned out pretty hot, so I forgive him.
Oh right. And I will say I particularly got emotional with I Shannon You, of course.
Oh my God, I was
okay. Well,
I
Mike's anniversary post to Angela, for anyone who doesn't know, talked about
God,
how he Shannons
died.
Her, and I was like, cool, I'll just die alone because I'll never have love like this. Beautiful.
Well, and that was because we had
I'll
watched
never
it
be
the
Shannon'd.
Night before too. I like was rewatching season 2, and it was just like he was like, it's happening on our anniversary, and I was like, oh my Lord. He like is a happy crier, and I'm not. Like I'm like a I cry when I'm upset person. So like I don't usually cry at stuff like that I'm like really happy about, but like it's just so funny when I'm watching Queer Eye with him because it's like it's just so emotional. It's like I get it.
Yeah, but okay, when William went and changed into the suit that matched the movie,
I died.
And he ran out on stage.
I Shannon You.
It was
like,
too much.
It's like, no, I need another word.
It was so good.
And I think
and
also
Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy.
Same wavelength. I think just
Mama
like
Tammy.
Reaching people who like addressing the pressure of Christianity yes. to believe certain things. I think that there it's easy for people who didn't grow up religious. And I didn't grow up Christian, but I did grow up very religious. I think it's easy for people who didn't to just dismiss that as like, well, they're hypocrites. Like they don't, you know, they're just intolerant, they're hateful or whatever. But there is so much pressure in religious communities to adhere to certain things that you're like, even if you don't fully believe something, you're like, well, am I going to lose my people? So I think having Tammy as an example of somebody who didn't have to shun the church or anything, she didn't have to give up any part of her religion to love her gay son and to love the Fab Five, I think is very important.
100%. Yeah, it's nice to see that because you don't see that perspective all of the time.
You have a lot of people like deciding that they have to shun their religion to not be homophobic, which is definitely a path. Like that's what happened with Bobby. Like that's definitely a path that happens and is totally valid. But there are also many people who balance the two and come to terms with it within their religion. And
I would say one of the points that I got emotional during that episode was when Anthony was like, he was just like, I feel like he was just like, it's amazing that she chose, you know, to accept her son. And it's like most parents don't do that.
And say it publicly like, to her congregation.
Yeah. And the way he said it just like was so like that he just like clearly was feeling it. And I was just like, I feel it too, Anthony. I love you.
Yeah. Anything with Anthony, you're just going to connect you more. That's just how it is.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
He, I also, like I said, he's like a little baby. He just gets so emotional.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. This isn't like an emotional moment, but just a moment that stood out to me from the whole season was a big mood for 2018 when Jonathan finds the Hillary Clinton sign in Ted's room. Ted is the mayor guy. And he's like, oh my God, I love her. I love her. Hillary Clinton's the best. I love her. And he goes, I was actually a delegate for Bernie. And the look on Jonathan's face is just like a huge mood for me.
Yeah, like, totally. No. Mayor Ted was like a lot too, because it was like he's like, we're not married, and it was like very like, oh Lord, okay.
Like, I love the mayor though.
Live your own bliss, cool. But oh God,
yeah. And then Jonathan's like, I'm so sorry for putting like that on you.
Like I'm so sorry for like implementing like structures of like heteronormative like dropping those words. And Ted was like, it's fine,
it's okay.
I was like, are we gonna get a proposal at the end of this episode? Like, is that what been why they left that
modern.
In?
Modern. They're modern.
But then I was like, yeah, but I was just like, you never know. Like with TV, I'm always looking for like little clues of like, why did they show us this? And it's like, either they're never getting married or they're getting engaged.
They showed
like,
it's one or the other. That's how some people live, and it's great.
Well, you know, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Kirsten was looking for little clues because that's how we watch TV. Because
you're reading the edit.
We're all messed up humans watching reality television.
Please stop. Please stop doing edgic on Queer Eye.
Yeah,
it's gonna take us nowhere.
You're like, well, why did they show us that though?
I would love
that. What does it mean?
I for real think that it would be a mistake for them not to try to get one of the Fab Five on Celebrity Big Brother when they do that again.
Oh my God,
that would be amazing.
Oh my God,
any of them.
Yes, and you know who's the most attainable? Anthony.
I don't think he is. I think Bobby probably. Well, Bobby wouldn't do it, but I think
he wouldn't do it. That's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
Anthony,
yeah, that's
like,
why.
Oh, Anthony is too thirsty. He would do it.
Exactly.
Tan wouldn't do it. Maybe Karama would because he's been on reality TV before. But
yeah,
he has kids, so probably not. You know,
Jonathan might do it. You never know. It's short.
Anyway, they're casting for the next season right now in Kansas City, Missouri. So I don't know what that means.
Get a Drag Race girl and get a Queer Eye person. That's all I want.
Yeah.
That'd be phenomenal.
That would be amazing. That would be the dream.
Totally.
If you're listening, Celebrity Big Brother producers, to this podcast with Lena and Kirsten and Angela, as I know you
Robin
are.
Robin cast, do that casting? Robin, come on. Get us a Queer Eye. Get us a drag queen, please.
I know you're listening. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. An hour deep into a Queer Eye podcast. She's definitely here.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, those are sort of my final thoughts. I don't know what you guys like feel, but I mean, I'm sad that it's over for the second season because I want more.
I think like what do you want to see in season 3? Like, what are you hoping for in terms of where this is going.
I just want it to have, like, I want it to have the same vibe of, like, this is for you, this is going to fit into your life, and I want more of those, like, hard questions answered that a lot of people maybe don't know about. Like, when Tan was asking the questions to Skylar, and we learned a little bit more about, like, pronouns and stuff like that, I want more of that awareness and information and, you know, normalizing that so that it's more comfortable for people, and that hopefully moves more than just the show in the right direction.
Yeah, and I sort of wanted to stay like foundationally the way it is. That's like, I'm really happy when they just sort of dropped the second season out of nowhere. Like, it was like, oh wow, okay, you have another season already, that's amazing, that means you filmed them back to back before it got famous, you know. So it's like, you have the sort of limited budget that you had the sort of before you, you know, got full of yourselves, you know, anything like that. So I hope that in the next season they similarly have that same like willfulness to be there for the person, and hopefully not, you know, any sort of, and I mean, I'm sure that there's not, you can't avoid some of this, but sort of any sort of, like much eagerness to be, you know, famous, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I just hope it stays the same, where it's like, it's all about the, what they're doing in the show, not about what they're putting out there.
Yeah. I think I'm hoping for lesbians.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't happen, because now we're doing women. If I saw a woman propose to another woman on Queer, I would lose my mind. Because I feel like, I mean, we are three women discussing the show about gay men, but it is in many ways geared towards us.
No,
but
we
I
know
think,
that to all the listeners as well. We're aware.
We know.
But guess what?
Also,
we volunteered. we were available.
I am a queer woman, and I think that I've had limited opportunities to see my actual experience reflected in media. And I think that Queer Eye is a really good outlet for these kind of underrepresented stories, because people are completely controlling their own narrative. It's not subject to a writer's room deciding what someone feels. So I think, yeah, women who love women. I also would like to see someone who, and, you know, not to make this like you have to check every oppression box, but like, I think addressing someone who's living with HIV, because it's such a big and stigmatized thing in the community. I think Karamo, because he also has an activist background in that, could do a lot of good in working on someone's life from that perspective and helping him make it easier and manage it, and also decreasing the stigma of it.
Because people also, I think, are unaware that it's still an issue in some ways. I mean, I think they think it stopped in the 90s, you know. I think people are like, either when they hear about it, they're like, wait, really? You have that? You know, so.
Yeah, or they think it's a death sentence, and that if someone had it that they know, then they would know. You know, it's like, oh, well, if my friend had HIV, I would definitely know. But that's not necessarily true.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, on the lesbian note, I do think, like, I want to see it in the form of the way that that proposal happened for the Vegas tourism commercial.
Oh my God, that commercial. When
makes
what did
me
that
cry every time?
That premiered during like the AMAs or some music
kills
awards
me every time.
That happened recently, and I was just like grooving to some performance, and then that came on and I was deceased. It's this incredible. Kirsten, have you seen it?
We have different commercials here.
Yeah.
So
I know,
I've
I'll
not
it
seen
to
it,
I'll
so I'm
it.
Gonna have to look at it.
It's
later.
A it's just a commercial like a, for Las
here's
Vegas.
Here's what you need to look up: Vegas tourism lesbian commercial.
It's so beautiful. Everybody
it
should
like
watch
it. Sounds like it's right
it.
Up my alley. Yeah, I'm on
it's
board.
A fairy tale.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
That's what I'm doing right after this. I'm going to watch that.
So I want those two exact women, because I assume this commercial was a documentary.
Not that they need help. They're both like gorgeous, like well-dressed humans. They look like they have their shit together. So probably don't need the help of the Fab Five.
Hey, but they probably have friends who do.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's true. That's true.
But yeah, so I think just like you said, like, because these seasons were filmed close together, I think they didn't have a ton of time to like shift the format or the tone or anything like that. So I think making big moves now that they know that everybody is going to watch this probably in one day, the day it comes out. And so they have a little bit of freedom to get quirky with it.
Yeah, so I hear that it's going to be filming in like August and the fall, and they're doing casting now, and they're doing casting in, like I said, Kansas City, Missouri. So I don't know what that means for where it's going to be located. I did read this snippet about the director and the producer like coming from Cincinnati, Ohio, and really having like roots in like the Midwest and wanting people mm-hmm. sort of out of the Midwest and feeling like that was like what like he wants, because he feels like those people need the most help in some ways yeah. and like he wants to like move it in that direction. So I don't know if that's like canon or if that's like true, but I just read like a gossip thing about that. So
well, I'm
maybe
about to
that's
move
gonna happen.
I'm about to move to the East Coast, but if someone wants to nominate me, I will pretend that I live in Missouri.
Exactly. Go to Kansas City right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I read that. I don't know if it's true. Again, it's all gossip until we hear truth. But I would be into like some kind of change. But I do love that they're like Fab Five Loft in Atlanta. So I don't know if they would have like another loft like somewhere. I don't know.
They would have like an RV or something at the very least.
Bobby will
make it. Would they fly an RV
to Atlanta? Would they like fly them there? They would. That would be
I'm
weird
sure they'll just set up a new loft and, wherever
yeah, they'll
they
set
go.
Up a new loft.
Bobby
for
will
sure.
design it.
Oh my god! Amazing.
Oh, it'll be so beautiful. Okay, perfect.
Beautiful. Anyway,
well, does any other last thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, I'm so sad because now I don't. Talk about Queer Eye for another hour.
You get to talk about it with your husband. What is more I perfect guess. Than that?
It's true.
That's true goals.
Go talk to him. True goals. Goals. Hashtag
goals. Well, you guys are a couple goals. It's true.
Yeah, this was a beautiful
so
Canada Day celebration. Happy Canada Day, Kirsten.
Oh, thank you so much. Happy Canada Day to you guys, too. It's like, it
oh
matters
gosh,
to you as
you.
Well, right?
Thank you. I have been clear that anything I do on the 4th of July is just belated Canada Day. I will not celebrate.
Yeah, agreed. I mean,
our equivalent.
That means so plans, much to so. Me.
Yeah, it's so nice of you to have them so close so we can just pretend that we're celebrating Canada.
Yes.
But thank you so much for putting this together. Yeah. I really wanted to talk about this and these boys. I'm totally. Glad that this is such a phenomenon. I feel like I know so many people in real life who watch this, which is never my reality show
Same.
Experience.
Same.
So that is really refreshing. Everybody, please continue to watch it. I want the show to have 11,000 seasons.
Agreed.
Exactly. 11,000. Mm-hmm. No more, no less. That's what we need.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
So Lita, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. You can also catch my writing. The RuPaul's Drag Race season just ended, but I did recaps of the whole season for myentertainmentworld.ca. I also wrote something that I tweeted out today, a personal essay. So I'm trying to keep up with that. I'm going to Europe in 4 days.
Ooh.
So follow me on Instagram for actually interesting things in
you
other
know
countries.
We will.
Yeah.
I already do, okay.
Yeah, you two are real fans.
Lita will be stalking your Insta.
Yes.
Yeah, we're the OG Lita stands. It's fine. Yeah. Angela, what about you? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ange Palagi. It's ANGPALAGGI. And I am obviously here recording this, and you will most likely find me on the Bachelorette Wrap Up this week. I'll be recording with Haley Strong, so get excited for
Woo.
That. Yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm not going to Europe, so I'll be just hanging out in the extreme heat.
Yeah, I'm also not going to Europe, and I'll just be in the not extreme heat because it's cold here. It's fine. You can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, and I will be tweeting excessively during the Big Brother 20
yes.
season. So come. Roast me, watch me roast everyone. It's fine.
Love
yeah,
it.
And everybody subscribe to the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed because that's where you can catch Angela this week. That's where you can catch Kirsten on her live
yes,
feed update
yeah.
that she did so wonderfully on. And I assume
thanks.
We'll be doing more of this season. You can find my American Ninja Warrior podcast with Taryn and also a couple of my live feed updates probably this season.
You love those live feeds.
We love
it. The live feeds.
So definitely subscribe. And rate and review if you feel like it.
Yeah. Good
Perfect.
Call, good
well,
call.
I feel like on that note, get your cologne out, spray, delay, and walk away.
Do we have a hashtag?
Oh yeah, it's true. Oh,
I'm trying to think of like iconic Jonathan quotes. The only one that I could think of, it doesn't lend itself to a hashtag, but this is also just a fun conversation. There's an episode in season one when they go to the firehouse and do like the dance class, or they bring all the firemen to the dance class. It's like a ballroom class, and the instructor is like, "What kind of world is it without inside turns?" And Jonathan goes, "No kind of world that I want to live in." I'm like, same. I do not want to live.
Really work for a hashtag.
I don't.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I was just thinking about Jonathan quotes, guys.
I know. Now I'm like looking Kristen up got Jonathan me started.
It's like just hashtag Jonathan.
Transformation Tuesday.
No one else has ever used that hashtag on Twitter. We can do an RHAP queer eye, RHAP queer eye.
Yeah.
I think.
And tweet us your favorite member of the Fab Five.
Yes, that's a good one.
Tweet us Anthony Hate or I'll come for you.
Come for you in a big way.
Okay, well, thanks again, everyone, and bye.
Bye.